Please open your Bibles to John chapter 4 and verse 24. John 4 and verse 24. Our Lord gives instruction concerning worship. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. It doesn't say ought to, should. It uses the word must. The absolute necessity. Now, for several months, we've been considering worship. What is worship? We defined it like this: the glorious privilege of spiritual worship is the effect or the fruit of the reconciliation which Christ wrought by His death upon the cross. We could word it this way: worship is a glorious privilege which Christ purchased by His own blood. That puts a very, very high esteem upon worship. Our definition of the nature of true worship was based on the verse in Ephesians, which says, "For through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father." That is the very distilled essence of true worship. True spiritual worship is access to God through Christ by the Holy Spirit. All three persons of the Godhead are involved. All true worship involves a conscious reality of all three persons of the Godhead. A conscious reality. We ought to be aware of that as we worship. As I'm worshiping, I should be consciously aware I have access to God through Christ, through the Holy Spirit. You see, that puts worship in a far different category. If there is not this conscious communion with God, with Christ, and with the Holy Spirit, there is no worship, whatever else you may be doing, whatever else you may want to call it. It is not true biblical worship. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1, and let's look at verse 28 and 29. Hebrews 1, verse 28. "Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude, by which we may offer God an acceptable..." You see that word, acceptable? "Acceptable service or worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." That word acceptable is the goal of worship. That it will be acceptable to God. That He will receive it. We've emphasized True worship is both internal and external. True internal worship is the basis for a right and proper external. God is a spirit, so how are we going to worship Him? And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Nothing is said here about the use of the body. Certainly the body is used. We know that. In the activity of worship. The activity of the body, in worship should be symbolic of the worship that is taking place in your heart. So when we speak of internal worship, we're speaking primarily of the condition and the activity of the inner man. Another way of stating it is simply this. It is a holy disposition of the soul towards God. Now, that's our introduction and review. This brings us to deal with another topic of worship. We've dealt with several. Last week we dealt with the singing of hymns. Today we're going to deal with preaching. We dealt with singing of hymns and hearing the Word of God. What is the guideline for all of this? It's what we call the regulative principle of worship. We must not engage in any activity of worship for which there is not scripture warrant. We are not at liberty to worship God as we please, according to our personal likes and dislikes. We are bound to worship God only as He has set forth in His Word. When we worship God in spirit and in truth, we're worshiping God with all of our heart, our entire redeemed being. And worshiping God in truth means to worship Him according to truth, within the limits of truth. And what are those activities for which we have scriptural authority, scripture warrant? Public reading of the scriptures, prayer, singing of hymns, preaching and hearing God's Word, giving of tithes and offerings, baptism in the Lord's Supper, fasting and thanksgiving. That's it. We've dealt with the public reading of Scripture. We've dealt with prayer. We've dealt with singing of the hymns. This brings us to consider the preaching and the hearing of God's Word. Let's take it in a different order. Let's do hearing first. Hearing. Turn with me to Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. Luke 8:18. Therefore, take care how you listen. Make it a matter of concern how you listen. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and whoever does not have even what he thinks he has shall be taken away from him. This, of course, was the parable of the lamp. And in that parable, Christ gives this succinct exhortation. Take heed how you hear. On other occasions, Christ said, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." In Spanish, there are two words for hear, right? Two words. What are they? Oír. What's the other one? I'm listening. Escuchar. Escuchar and oír. Is there a difference between those two words? I mean, we translate them in English, listen or hear. But when you use one of those words, why do you use one and not the other? Is there a shade of difference? Does it mean something a little different? I'm asking you the question. I know, but I want you to think. Because those two words cause us to see that there's two ways of listening. One is more serious. Which is more serious? Okay. We've got difference of opinion here. But the point I'm simply making is that there are two words. And the reason there's two words is because there's a difference in the way we hear. I'm hearing the air come out of that air conditioning right now. But it's in the background. It's not getting my attention. I'm not focused on it. Wow. It's just there. I hear it. But if you were to stand up and say something to me right now, I would hear it a lot differently than what I hear that. Simply because I know you're trying to convey something to me. It's important. We hear a lot of things. I hear traffic. I hear wind blowing. I hear the wind chimes. I hear car going down the street. But they don't get my attention. When we are listening to the Word of God, dear people, it ought to get our attention. It ought to be our focus. We ought to hear every word. Now, hearing God's word as it is preached is worship. I want you to understand that. I want you to write that down. I want you to be aware of it. As you sit and listen to the sermon, as you ought to be listening, you're worshiping God in the act of hearing His Word. So let's be careful how we hear. A second area of concern is this. Hearing God's word involves something that perhaps you haven't thought of. I hope I can describe it for you. Hearing of God's word involves waiting upon God. Waiting upon God. It is waiting for God to convey spiritual good for our soul. Now, think with me. That is a spirit of anticipation. In other words, you're sitting there anticipating. Even ahead of time, God is going to speak to me through His Word. And that's an awareness that you have as the sermon is being preached. So it's not only hearing, but it is hearing with anticipation, eagerness. What is God going to say to me? How is God going to deal with my soul? It's an act of worship. Now, don't misunderstand me. We're not hearing the Word of God just to, quote, get something. Like a little tidbit. Like a clever little application. No, I'm waiting upon God to speak to my soul through His Word. Bringing comfort. Bringing joy, bringing condemnation of sin. However God chooses to use His Word to deal with me and personalize it in my heart. It's an act of worship. As much as singing a hymn. We come to God in order to draw near to God through His Word and do so with a profession of submission to Him. Now, how is all this going to happen? Let me suggest some things. Come with your heart prepared. Come with your heart prepared. In the book of Acts, we read where the brethren received the word with great eagerness. And there's the zeal factor that we've been dealing with for many weeks. They were zealous. They received the word of God with readiness of mind, focus. Requires some mental attention. And one of the reasons, and I want you to listen carefully, one of the reasons that it requires some attention is because the Word of God is logical. It follows a logical pattern. And as you hear the Word of God, let me just put it in common language. You need to be connecting the dots. And you can't do that if you're preoccupied or worried about this or that or who knows what. Your mind has to be on what you're hearing. Giving attention. Now let's talk a little bit right here about God's Word being logical. Reformed Baptist churches hold to Confession of Faith, London Baptist Confession of Faith. It's a doctrinal statement. There are what we call the doctrines of grace, symbolized by the word tulip, T. What does T stand for? Total depravity of man. And I want to tell you something, dear people. If you believe, firmly believe in the total depravity of man, all of the other doctrines fall into place. Just like that. Why? It's logical. It's logical. So are you beginning to see that worshiping doesn't mean just coming in here and picking up a hymn book and turning to the right page, letting the words sort of go through your eyes or maybe your mind? No, there's the giving of tithes and offerings. There's praying. It's the preaching of the word. All involved. You see, a lot is going on up here. There should be a lot going on out there. You should be praying for your pastor as he preaches. You should lift up your heart and say, Lord, bless our pastor now as he's ministering the word of God. And the reason for that is because pastors need divine help. Why do they need divine help? Let me give you just one little reason. Because I am trying to convey to you concepts. One of the pastors used to be one of the elders at Trinity Baptist Church, Greg Nichols. Quite an outstanding pastor and preacher. And I remember on one occasion at the pastor's conference, he said, brethren, he says, sometimes when I'm preaching, he says, I feel like I'm trying to nail Jell-O to the wall. That's a pretty good description. So there's activity going on up here. There ought to be a lot of activity going on out there at the same time. The average person doesn't ever do much reasoning. Why? Because there's not that environment for reasoning. Why? There's TV, there's books, there's entertainment, there's telephones, there's Google. You need an active mind. Something else. Closely related, and we've mentioned it many times, and it's heart preparation. Not only mental, but heart preparation. The Word of God is to become effectual in your life and in your heart. And if there are areas in your heart and life that you haven't dealt with before God, you need to make that kind of heart preparation before you come here to worship. The confession of sin, repentance. So, take time. When? Early morning, Saturday night. You choose the time. But it's getting along with God and saying, Lord, help me to be prepared tomorrow as I go to church with your people to sit and worship you. Come with that heart preparation. Let me give you another simple little word of advice. Don't necessarily come expecting every Sunday to hear something new. That would be nice, I guess. But you see, that's wrong. Now, the preacher shouldn't preach the same sermon every Sunday. Of course. But that doesn't mean that we need repetition of certain truths to drive it home. To underscore it. To underline it as being what it is, and being important. We all know that you can read a verse and a week later, a month later, read the same verse and say, I never saw that before. It just sort of jumps out at you and you say, wow, what a blessing. New light, new understanding. Same verse, same words, but the Spirit is applying it differently. Now, sometimes we need to get before God and say, Lord, plow up this heart of mine. Why? So that when the word is preached, it falls on good ground and produces fruit in my life. That's heart preparation. Coming to God with a sense of submission and a commitment to obedience. It's not sitting there thinking, well, let me make up my mind as to whether I want to obey this or not. No. You come to hear, even if it's reading God's Word at home, how do you approach the Word of God? It's with a humble spirit of submission and obedience. Fleshing it out in your life day by day. Well, what about hearing? It's giving God your undivided attention. Deal with your distractions. Listen to the Word of God as if your life depended upon it. Because it does. It does. How would you listen if there were certain, well, let's take a very well-known, everyday, current issue, the virus. And so I send out an email and I say, this Sunday we're going to have perhaps the best expert that we know of concerning this virus, and he's going to tell you how to avoid it and how to deal with it and give you some information you won't get anywhere else. That sounds like quite a claim, doesn't it? But suppose that is what we did, and it was true, and I could actually produce that person, and he would come in here. How would you listen? Would you have a little 3x5 card out and say, okay, and get that information down? Why? Because your life might depend upon it. Right? You wouldn't want to miss a word. Do you listen to God's Word that way? Is that the kind of attention that's going on in your mind and heart as the Word is being preached? I don't want to miss him. I want to hear exactly what he had to say. What we're conveying to you, dear people, is I don't stand here to preach to you human opinion. I stand here to preach to you God's Word. How do we listen? How do we hear? What's the goal of worship? To glorify God. The goal of worship is to glorify God. That ought to be our concern in my heart and my life. In my personal worship and in my corporate worship. Has God been glorified this morning? in the way that you have listened to God's word? Has he? Has God been worshipped as you were actually listening to the sermon? Has he been glorified? Listening to the sermon is not passive, much less is it entertaining. It shouldn't be entertaining. Clever. What a privilege, dear people, we have of having the Word of God. I have a friend who is a chaplain in a prison in Louisiana. I've mentioned him before. He's having quite an influx of prisoners who speak Portuguese. And these men are begging for Bibles, and he's having a task keeping enough Bibles to give out to those who are speaking Portuguese. He sent me a text message last week with a picture of him holding a couple of boxes, people that he had ordered Bibles from. How many Bibles do you have? When did you get your first Bible? I've had men at the migrant camp, 30, 40 years old men. I give them a Bible at the camp back in North Carolina, tears streaming down their cheeks, and they say, "This is the first Bible I've ever owned." What a great privilege. Are we living up to it? In our own personal interaction with it, whether it's reading it. And by the way, I'm just going to insert this. Use it to pray with. Pray. Psalm 25. Sit down and look at Psalm 25. It's a prayer. Make it your prayer. Pray what those words you're saying. Psalm 25 says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." Make that your prayer. Not just repeat the words, but say as a prayer to God, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." What you're doing is taking God's word to worship him. How wonderful are the precepts of God. Well, pray that God will use his word today to encourage us into true, serious, God-honoring, Christ-honoring worship. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would so work in our hearts as individuals and as a church that we will understand and practice true biblical worship, glorifying God, honoring Christ as the head of the church, growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord, whether it's in our own personal reading, devotions, or whether it's our time of public prayer. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.